Good morning. Thursday morning, I was sitting at my office desk, and as a matter of business, I tend to keep my email open all the time, and up popped an email from Carol Wechselberger, our service coordinator and co-chair on the Sunday Services Committee, and she's like, Bessie might not be able to do the service Sunday. Do you think you can help out? And I said, sure. She goes, well, we'll let you know Saturday morning. So Saturday morning rolls around about 10:30. I pop open my email at home. No problem, covered, you're off the hook. This morning, the alarm goes off at 6:30. And my normal Sunday routine is I get up and I'll watch Meet the Press or Sunday Morning on CBS and just ease into the morning and then pedal down here and attend service. And I figured, well, just in case my wife decides to come with me, which she didn't, I'll get my shower out of the way first. So 6:30 alarm goes off, 7:30 I finally crawl out of bed, get into the shower, go out. There was some leftover Chinese, which always makes fun for breakfast. And I'm sitting in the chair, and we typically turn the phone down way low, and I hear this ring, ring, ring. Pick it up, Carol. We need you this morning. But I think the lesson in that is that we always need to be prepared for the unexpected, because I already had told myself, if I do nothing to prepare, they'll need me. And if I prepare, it'll all be for naught. So it's not so much what we do when we're in the clutch, but it's what we do through the normal course of our day where we're tasked to come to bat. So in that spirit, and I hope in the spirit of Bessie, because she's obviously a rock of this community amongst many others, I hope this morning I'll do her a good honor. But to tell the story how the other way I got to this point, I love wasting my time in front of the television set. But I try to waste my time with quality product. And one of the places I find quality product is on C-SPAN. And during the summer months, if any of you have bothered to waste your time, C-SPAN runs commencement speeches from various, institutions of higher learning, from the service academies to the most obscure little colleges where someone has managed to get someone of some notoriety to speak. And a couple years ago, I know one of the more enjoyable ones, Raisa Gorbachev and Barbara Bush gave the commencement speech at Wesley College, and it was just absolutely fascinating. And then back in 2005, Tom Hanks' daughter, Lizzie Hanks, Elizabeth Hanks, graduated from Vassar, and given the easy connection, Tom came and gave the commencement speech at Vassar. And Tom's speech was called The 4% Solution, The Power of Four. And I heard it and was absolutely blown away by it. I know from doing a little research on Tom that he had grown up a Roman Catholic, much like myself, and when he married his second wife, Rita, he converted to Eastern Orthodox faith when they got married. However, again, his philosophical view of the world has not been tainted by religion, one might say. And last year when Elizabeth was going on sabbatical and I took on the task without telling too many people that I was going to try to get speakers in, Tom was one of the people that I approached to come speak here at Booth. We had to settle for Mr. Fulgham, But it would have been a thrill to get Tom here to speak as well. And so this morning, despite not Tom being here in person, imagine that he is. Not long ago, I was reading about the problem of gridlock on the freeways of Southern California. The traffic jams which cripple the city, stranding millions and laying waste to time, energy, and the environment. Gridlock is as serious and impenetrable a problem as we face today. A dilemma without cure, without solution. Like everything else in the world, it seems there's no way to deal with it. Some smart folks, however, concocted a computer simulation of gridlock to determine how many cars should be taken off the road to turn a completely jammed and stilled highway into a free-flowing one. How many cars must be removed from that commute until a 20-mile drive takes 25 minutes instead of 2 hours? The results were startling. 4 cars need to be removed from that virtually stuck highway to free up that simulated commute. 4 cars. 4 cars out of each 100. 4 cars per 100 cars. 4 autos out of every 100 autos. 40 cars from each 1,000. 400 out of 10,000. 4 cars out of 100 are not that many. 2 cars out of every 50. 1 driver out of 25 drivers. Now, if this simulation is correct, it is perhaps the most dramatic definition in earthly science and human nature on how a simple choice will make a jaw-dropping difference to our world. Call it the power of four. 1 commuter in your neighborhood could put the rush back into rush hour. So if merely 4 people out of 100 can make gridlock go away by choosing not to use their car, imagine just for a moment, the other changes that can be wrought by just 4 of us, 4 of you out of 100. Take 100 musicians. We may even have that many here at Boof. But take 100 musicians in a depressed city in northern England. Say choose John, Paul, George, and Ringo. And you have Hey Jude. Take 100 computer geeks. In Redmond, Washington. Send 96 of them home. And not to telecommute. Send them home, and you call the remainder Microsoft. Take the power of four and apply it to any and every area of your concern. And what solutions, what differences, what changes, what impact do you see? Can you imagine? Politics. 4 votes swung from 100 into another 100 is the difference between gaining control and losing clout. Culture. two ticket buyers out of 50 can make a small, odd film profitable. Economics. By boycotting a product, one consumer out of 25 can move that product from the back or to the back of the shelf and eventually off of it altogether. 4 out of 100 is a minuscule number, and yet can be the greatest lever of the tipping point. The power of 4 is the difference between helplessness and help. H-E-L-P, help. A 4-letter word like some others with many meanings. People today, I think, can claim with perhaps more credibility than at any other time in our history that during the last 7 years, the world's gone a bit crazy. In the fall of 2001, our planet Earth and the United States of America were different sorts of places. In tone, in tolerance, in peace and in war, in ideas and in ideals. Then they are on this summer day in 2008. These past years have been extraordinary in the express rate of change, well beyond the usual standards of culture, well beyond the personal watermarks we and you have stamped as individuals. We now live in a brand new world with new visions and versions of political upheaval, global pandemics, world war, and religious polarization, the likes of which have rarely been visited on our planet all at once. Thank God for that. None of us were untouched by the events of September 2001. None unaffected by the ideological movements of local and geopolitics since. All of us, all of you, have been staring at your individual fates and our collective futures right in the eye. What do I do now? What do we do now? We have asked this question many times, in our lives outside of Booth and our lives inside of Booth. You might have to add the word hell to that as a Unitarian or a UU if you believe it or not, or some other 4-letter word or phrase, what the hell do I do now? In which case today might not be all that different from any other day. Sermons, and those of us who make them, are often expected to offer advice as though you need any, as though anything said today could aid you in making sense of our one damn thing after another world. Things are too confused, too loud, and too dangerous to make advice an option. You need to hear something more relevant on this day. You need to hear the most important message thus far in the third millennium. You need to hear a maxim so simple and so clear and so evocative that no one could misconstrue its meaning or miss its weighty issue. So here it goes. It's not a statement. It's not an order. It is a request. Not a bit of advice, but a plea. It is, in fact, a single four-letter word, a verb and a noun which takes into account the reality of us here at Booth, of us here in our greater world. It is a message once made familiar by the Beatles, those northern English lads who embodied the power of four. Help. 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 We need your help. We need everyone's help. You must help. Please help. Please provide help. Please be willing to help. Help, and you will make a huge impact in the life of the street, the town, the country, our planet, and yes, our fellowship. If only one out of four of each 100 of you choose to help on any given day, in any given cause, incredible things will happen in the world in which you, in which we live in. Help publicly. Help privately. Help in your actions by recycling and conserving and protecting, but help also in your attitude. Help make sense where sense has gone missing. I'm sure you can find a place where that'll fit in. Help bring reason and respect to discourse and debate. Help science to solve and faith to soothe. Help law bring justice until justice is commonplace. Help and you will abolish apathy. The void is so quickly filled by ignorance and evil. Now, life outside of Booth is just like life in it, one nutty thing after another. Some of them are difficult, but all are interspersed with enough beauty and goodness to keep you going. That's your job. That's our job, to keep going. Your duty is to help without ceasing. The art you create can glorify it. The science you pursue can prove its value. The law you practice can pass on its benefits. The faith you embrace will help make earthly manifestations of your God, whatever that is. Here at Booth, whatever your path, whatever your passion, you have already experienced the exhausting reality that there is always something going on and there is always something to do. And most assuredly, you have sensed how effective and empowering it can be when more than four out of 100 make the same choice to help. I know for myself, I've made the personal resolution never to assume the other person can be one of the four. I've made it myself. I know I can't do everything, but we need to resolve that at least on something, we, ourselves as an individual, are going to be one of the four. you will always be able to help. So do it. Make peace where it is precious. Help plant trees. Help embrace diversity. And celebrate differences. Help stop the gridlock. In other words, help solve every problem we face, every single one of them, with the power of 4 out of 100. Help, and we will save the world. If you don't help, it won't get done. May it be so.